heard in the West that how good it is to be bear hugged. Well, that's the way I was done right there by your pastor. And I had a real handful. My, Americans are big compared to Brazilians. They have another dimension, my brother.
Amen.
Amen. Being here at this church, we have another dimension. Such warmth, really a real time of blessing. Is this too loud?
No, sir. No. They'll take care
of it. Oh, really? Okay. A real time of blessing to be in a church where there's liberty. Well, you can say amen and people don't look at you like that. Where you can stand up. Where you can really praise God when you get out on your knees. It's wonderful. I've been through hundreds, perhaps 250 churches in the last 2.5 months. 3, 4, up to 7 meetings per day. And they've been heavy because they've been seminars. But it's a real privilege to be in a place where there's such a real warmth, warmth of the Spirit. There's such thing as human warmth. You know, and God gives us human warmth. Believe you me, whenever we become really Christians, where Christ is indwelling within, where the Holy Spirit has taken complete control, there's a real warmth.
Amen.
But it isn't only human warmth.
Right.
It's a divine warming. Amen. This which John Wesley says, that is strangely warm my heart.
Amen.
One that's an overflow. One that's real, genuine, not a false.
Amen.
Not just a smoothness. It's not just grace, human grace, but the grace of God.
Amen.
Unmerited favor of God moving out and flowing over in our lives. Isn't that wonderful, folks?
Amen.
And you know, it's a real homecoming to be here. To be one of you. Really, first of all, because we're one in Jesus Christ. That's the most precious of every bond. It's an eternal bond. It took the very last drop of blood of Jesus to buy this. It's marvelous. The second is that it's oneness in object, in working. One in faith. One in love. One in purpose. And praise God one day to be around Jesus on our knees, prostrate. We're going to say, holy, holy, holy. Amen. To be in that presence. Oh, how glorious. Folks, no more fighting there. And that's why there's no fighting here, right? Amen. Praise God. I've been in churches where all of the energy is used up fighting one another. But not among God's people. No, sir. He transforms our lives. He brings peace in our hearts. And He brings peace in our families. He brings love for one another. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
This morning, He's been so liberal to give me all the time that I want. As long as it isn't over 15 minutes, maybe. Well, we're going to just have a great time this morning.
Amen.
Will you turn with me to Matthew 25? Matthew chapter 25. Being a Sunday school, we're not going to make this a preaching service at all, okay? I don't like to preach. I'd rather really just sit at the feet of Jesus to listen to what He has to tell us. We want to be just an instrument and let Jesus speak to our hearts. The Lord Jesus is speaking here in chapter 25 of Matthew about the prophetic sermon of His second coming. You know, folks, I believe He's coming again. He's coming soon.
Amen.
You know, the scientists who are really honest, in all of their calculation, have come to the conclusion that surely we're in the last days. Is that we don't have to have the affirmation of the scientists. We just need Jesus' word, and that's plenty.
Amen.
Is that a lot of people are bowing down to science, bowing down to what humans have to say. But our God, in His authoritative word, He that holds the whole universe in the very hollows of His hands, He speaks. He spoke one word and the whole universe came into being. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He brought all these things by His powerful word. Our God is great. And this is the word He's giving us. This is the very same Jesus that holds the very spans of universe in the very hollows of His hands. He's giving a message to the church. In chapter 25, 1 through 13, the parable of the 10 virgins. And then from the 14 to 30, we have the parable of the talents. And then from 31 through 46, we have the parable of the sheep and goats. Now, these three parables are given as a prophetic message to the church. First, the parable of the ten virgins is the object of the church, the objective. What are we to do as a church? That's what I want to study a little bit deeper this morning with you together. The objective of the church. The second is the occupation of the church, is that what they should be occupied about. So many people, Christians, sincere Christians, are more occupied about His coming than His coming.
That's right.
We must not be sidetracked by the devil this way. Is that we're not going to cross every T's and dot every I's alike. But there are so many things that there is absolutely no doubt Jesus is coming again. No doubt.
Amen.
He's coming for His own. No doubt.
Amen.
Yes, He's coming for those who are under the blood. No doubt.
Amen.
Folks, when we see a church, a lot of people say, I don't want to come to church because there's hypocrites there. You know, I need to go to church because there are hypocrites. Yes, sir. We need to get them saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
We don't want them outside and go to hell right directly.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, is that remember, even those that are born again have many imperfections. We love them just like they are because God loves us as we are.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Is that because someone has some imperfections or shortcomings or so lacking in many areas, there's no reason whatever that we should leave them on the outside. Why? Because Jesus loves us as we are. He hates our sin, but He loves the sinner. Then folks, how good it is to just plunge into this very arms that are outstretched, calling us, come unto me, all that are work and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Folks, He receives sinners. He loves sinners. And He saves sinners.
Amen.
Amen. Don't forget the third point. Oh, how important it is. And this morning, we need to be occupied until Jesus comes. We need to be out winning souls for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We need to give the very last drop of our energy for the extension of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We have things to do. Some people are very, very anxious to make money. We need a certain amount. But that is the only reason we're living for.
Amen.
Is that many of them for possession. We're going to leave all of these one day. But the Lord is wanting to make us rich in His grace, in His glory, in His presence, in His power. Something that lasts forever. It isn't something that just comes and goes. You know, I've heard some people recently of saying that the quality of life, being able to go to Hawaii, go to other places and looking at the beautiful seacoast and other things. Wonderful. But that doesn't give quality to life. Folks, is that externals do not give any quality of life. The quality of life is to be reconciled to the very source of our life.
Amen.
To know Him that holds the entire universe in the very hallows of His hands. Knowing His presence, in whose presence there's fullness of joy. It's a perpetual, perpetual happiness in His presence. Folks, He wants something that lasts for eternity. And if it doesn't last for eternity, it's not worth doing.
That's right.
Folks, something just for a few years is not enough. Folks, if it doesn't last for eternity, it's not worth doing. It's not to be occupied for something just to lose. There are two limits in our human life, the birth unto the death. In our voyage here on this earth, remember, we live between these two limits. If we're losing everything at death, our whole life is also lost. Remember that. Remember that for the very moment that we're born, the only one thing that we have with absolute certainty is that we're going to die. That's not negative. That's a positive affirmation of a truth. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this a judgment. No one escapes this. A person that doesn't know Jesus Christ is living only to die. Why? Every day that passes, every step that we take in our lives, we're clipping off our life one step at a time. There's no escape. Today, we're one day closer to the termination that we were yesterday. But folks, the Lord Jesus doesn't want us just to live, just to die. It doesn't make sense. The only reason I'm living today is to die. It doesn't make sense. One day we're going to leave everything that we have in this world. Be it our money, be it our education, be it our fame, be it all of the joys of living just for the moment. We're going to leave all of this one day. Folks, God doesn't want us just to gain something only to lose. No, sir. Our God is eternal. What He does is for eternity. And He wants to give us something that lasts for eternity. And praise God, in Christ Jesus, we have that.
Amen.
He gives us eternal life, eternal reward. The very inheritance that He wants to give us, remember, is all that the Heavenly Father has, He wants to give to His children.
Amen.
Amen. And for these beggars that are holding on to this filthy money, and fame, education, titles, and everything else they're going to lose anyway, to sacrifice this eternal inheritance. I can't call that intelligence.
Amen.
In no sense of the word.
Amen.
I can't say that's wisdom.
Amen.
It's foolishness.
Amen.
And you know, we won't speak about this morning. We need to be occupied till He comes. D.L. Moody said that his favorite verse in the Bible was 1 John 2:17. How many of you know that? By memory, I'm sure all of you know that. It says the world and its lust thereof shall pass away, but he that doeth the will of my Father shall endure forever. Isn't that good? Amen. Folks, even washing dishes, washing your clothes, building a church building, teaching school even, in the will of God, amen, lasts forever, because we're doing it for Jesus.
Amen.
And in Jesus, everything lasts forever.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, that's what the Lord wants a church to be doing.
Amen.
Occupied until He comes for something that lasts forever.
Amen.
He's not interested in a big building per se. He's not interested in having high-powered preaching. He's not interested in having people beautiful on the outside. He wants us to be clean within, purified in the blood of Jesus, saved, gloriously included in the eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He wants us to be busy in His work, bringing people into the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
That's the occupation.
Amen.
But there's one more, is that the outcome from verses 31 through 46 is that goats and the sheep. You know, when I was about 10 years old, someone talked me into say, it was during the wartime, just when, you know, and all the food stuff and everything was real short in Second World War. Remember? Maybe some of you don't remember. You don't remember, do you, son? Okay, it's maybe a few days before your time, okay? Well, someone talked me into it and says that goats are the best thing to have around. Never having a goat, I believed him. He said, they'll eat anything. Said, boy, they're the best thing because their milk is so rich. You can put twice as much water in it, and it'll be just so good. It'd be much better than cow's milk. Says that, what am I going to do with it? I don't like milk. Said, you can sell it. Good. He talked me into buying one goat and two kids. Says that, boy, I said, you're really going to be happy with this. And I said, thank you. He says, I'm going to give it to you cheap. Boy, I thought it was really high afterwards. Well, my dad at that time made me wash the car. I washed it real, real well. And just when I finished washing the car, I heard behind me, ka-dunk, 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 ka-dunk. Looked up there, and what are they? These two kids on top of the very car that I just finished washing and waxing. Why didn't he get on before I washed it? It's a wonder. But these kids, I was so angry at them. Shoot! Get over there! Get over there! And then they jump around, you know, trying to butt me, but they can't because they're on top of the car. Well, I knocked them off anyway. And I was so angry at them, I had to wash it over again. And when I went after the water to wash it, something from behind. Look behind. Both of these kid goats were butting me from the behind. You know, we have a lot of people in churches like that too, you know. Yeah. Well, you know, I never forgot these old goats. And you know, before they got off, they did a little washing themselves, and they put all kind of ornaments, round ornaments on there on top. And boy, was I ever so angry at those goats. Oh, and I understood the term, they got my goat. Boy, I wish someone got them. Oh, these goats, they were the meanest things. Every time I did washing, they would go up and on. We didn't have dryers at that time. So what they do is they chew at all of our clothes that they can get, you know, hanging on. And all of their mark of the beast on all of our clothes. Well, you know, these goats, that's exactly what they were. Well, you know, sheep. After I got rid of the goats, I got a sheep. Boy, if the sheep wasn't the sweetest thing, they never butt you. They never rebel. You push them over, they'll move over. If the dogs bite, they just let them bite. So submissive. How different. You know, God wants to make us His sheep. Amen. The sheep of His pasture. No backbiting, no butting. None of that old meanness, you know, just gossiping and other things. No, Well, one day the Lord is going to divide these, He said. The sheep to the right hand and the goats to the left hand. One into the eternal rewards. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Oh, how beautiful to hear that one day.
Amen.
Amen. But to others, says, bind them into the outer darkness. You know, another way we can look at it is that the parable of the virgin is the need of the church. And the talents is the necessity of the church. And then the goats, sheep, and the goats are really the nature of the church. What is our nature? You know, isn't it wonderful that He makes His children partakers of His divine nature? Folks, that's what makes the difference. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It isn't because we're zealous to do something. It isn't because we're going to put on a big front. It isn't because that we're changing something. But it's because Christ enthroned gives us the privilege of being partakers of His divine nature. Amen. Remember, the very essence of a Christian life is an exchange life. No longer I which liveth, but Christ liveth in me. Remember that Jesus said, him that cometh to me, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. Remember, it's the change of the center. No longer I, but Christ. Remember, it's the exchange of life. The cross does that for us. And He says, take up this cross and follow me. It's a change of direction. Praise God, not through the loss, but eternal gain. Not living for ourselves, but living for God. It's not living for right now, but for eternity. To have a spiritual reality in our lives. This is what Christ does for us. Folks, it's so important. You see, another way that we can look at it, the 10 virgins, is for the church to be on a watch. We must be wide awake. Secondly, a church needs to really work for the Lord. And thirdly, the church must walk with the Lord. Oh, these various ways that we can look, but we're going to limit just a short study. He's so generous to give me a few more minutes here. Boy, it really works a bind on crimping, really crimps our style. You know, our church in Brazil, some people, I'm going to give you a testimony. There's some people, there's one lady, and as a matter of fact, two ladies that were saved in one of the slum areas. I mean, really down and out. First time she came to our meeting, so unkept. So filthy, hygienically in every other way, just really down, living in one of the lean-tos there in the slum. But we hold meetings there every week. One day this lady called upon the Lord. You know, this lady came to Jesus, says, I'm so dirty. I'm dirty outside, I'm dirtier within. And Lord Jesus, will you forgive me? Will you come into my heart and my life and save me? You know, she had a living encounter with our living Christ. God changed her. The next Sunday when we went back there, Brother Lindell, you know, she was clean outside and cleaner within because the blood of Jesus cleansed her. Amen. She was filled with praises unto the Lord. And for the very fact that her life was so transformed that all the people in her neighborhood, right around where she was living, began to persecute her. Say, you're trying to be different. You're trying to be stuck up. You're trying to be snobbish. You're trying to be better than we are. And they stole everything she had. The whole family went destitute because others persecuted, stealing just to put them down. They lived there for the next 3 months, being a real testimony for the Lord.
But they were robbed 16 times in 3 months. They couldn't keep anything in their house. Everything was robbed, and the walls being so weak, they can just tear it up with their hands. No way that they could save it when they come to church. They stole everything. Every time they came to church, they were robbed. The devil gave them a rough time, but they still kept coming. You know, some of the most things that they need, like pots and pans, they brought it to church so they won't steal it. Now, how about you folks? If you had to bring your pots and pans to church so someone won't steal it in order to come to church, I'm afraid not very many of us would come. But she came and she brought her family. Well, you know, in a few months they had to move out. But it's so expensive there in Campinas. It's either the slums or they had to move far out. They moved far out. About 4 hours away by bus. We said, now what's going to happen to them? You know that lady, though her husband never accepted the Lord and was really persecuting her, followed her because they knew that they couldn't stay there in the slums. Moved way out, 4 hours away by bus. They had to catch 3 buses. And when they got there, the husband said, you're not going to take any more of my money and go to church. She wept before the Lord. You know what she did? During the week, she would make pastries and other things and she'll take it out and sell it on the streets. House after house per house, and you know, to make enough to pay her bus fare, 3 bus fare to church and back every Sunday. She does that every week. And you know, whenever the preaching is less than an hour and a half, she says, preacher, you shortchange me.
Amen.
Why? I wish someone would say that in America. Boy, they sit on the preacher if they go over 15 minutes. But you know, I tell you, whenever one works all week to gain just enough to come to church and go back, they're hungry. Yes. They're so thirsty. Not one word drops. She sits at the edge of the chair. Sometimes I wonder if she's not going to fall off. She's so attentive. Just, you know, it's such a blessing when we see such hunger, when we see such thirst. Why? That's the life of Jesus. When we know Him, we want to know Him better. When we love Him, we want to love Him more. When we trust Him, we want to trust Him more.
Amen.
Folks, that's it. And you know, this is the Jesus that we're going to meet soon.
Amen.
He's coming back. But He's not making His return tardy because He wants us to suffer more. The Church of Jesus Christ today, in many cases, are in the defensive. They're on the defensive when we should be on the offensive. We ought to be if there's one person unsaved in the world, every last one of us ought to be behind that person, bringing them to Jesus, shouldn't we? Because He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 4 superlatives. 1, every Christian. To all the world, the full gospel to every creature. 4 things. In other words, our objective must be worldwide in scope. It must be penetrating in effect. And it must be eternal in its duration. It must be. That's the commission that Jesus gave us. And folks, this is what the Lord wants us to do. This is the reason that He's leaving it. Leaving the church a little bit longer. Why? Because He loves the world. God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. That's how much He loved us. He doesn't want anyone to perish. For God is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful, folks? Amen. He doesn't want a single one to perish without Jesus. And that's why He has the church commissioned to do this. But we're not doing a very good job of it. Folks, people, multitudes are dying without Jesus Christ. And we're not too alarmed about it. We're too comfortable. Our eyes are upon temporal things, sacrificing the eternal. Many things, many ways, we're more occupied with the now rather than for eternity in God's plans for us. We must not. We want to see here the parable of the 10 virgins, chapter 25 of Matthew. Then the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish.
And they that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. And the wise took their oil in their vessels with their lamps, and the bridegroom tarried all, and they all slumbered and slept. We want to see here this morning, I'm not going to read the 13 because I want to save a little bit of time for the message itself. We want to see three things about the need of the church. Number one, it's a needy church because it's a slumbering church, sleeping. Verses 1 through 5. The second thing we want to see is verses 6 through 9 or 6 through 10 as a selfish church, a slumbering church, a selfish church, and the thirdly is one part of the church, a shut-out church, 11 through 13. This is very serious, and we want to speak about this morning, shall we? Number one, concerning a slumbering church. Verses 1 through 5, it tells us that there were 10 virgins. Look at the similarity, will you? All of them were virgins. In other words, they were pure. Outwardly, they were pure. They were robed. They were ready. They had their lamps. Everything on the exterior seemed to be ready. That's the condition that we find in churches today, is that we find a lot of cultural Christianity. It's a culture. It's a nice thing. It's not so in many places in the mission field, however, is that remember, the people, the Japanese in Brazil would tell us right to face, says, I'm glad I'm not a Christian. They're hypocrites, they're crooked. They have a good mouth, but they have a bad life. They seem like they've been looking at us too long, you know. But you know, folks, cultural Christianity doesn't go big in a foreign field. In many of the foreign fields, because they're persecuted. They're hated. People take pride that they're not Christians. But here in America, is that, are you a Christian? Oh, sure I'm a Christian. My grandmother was a good Christian. Well, you know, we have a lot of great grandchildren of God. A lot of them. But they're not going to get to heaven.
Right.
We have to be children because Amen. God doesn't have second, third generation.
Amen.
It has to be first generation or we don't have, we're not regenerated. Right. Amen?
Amen?
Well, we have a lot of cultural Christianity. We have a lot of customary Christianity. We have a lot of cultivated Christianity. A change on the outside, the way that we talk, the few expressions that we have really conquered, but that doesn't make us Christians. Folks, all say positive thinking. Positively, all of them look alike. They all seem to be waiting for this and for the coming. They all seem to be ready. But the Lord says that five were foolish and five were wise. What made the difference, brother? He said, had the Spirit. Okay, brother. Substance. Brother Eddie? Oil in a lamp. Well, it seemed like all of them had oil in their lamps because remember whenever the Lord said, whenever he came, when the bridegroom, when Jesus came, says, the bridegroom cometh! And they all trimmed the wicks, it said. And five of the foolish said, our lamps are going out. Right? What made the difference, my brethren? Answer me. This is Sunday school. Everyone talks. What made the difference? What? Looked ahead? Okay. Let's look at it without taking too much time. Is that all of them appeared to have oil in their lamps. Appeared to be. But it says very clearly that the wise, verse 4 there, it says the wise took oil where? In the vessel. You see the difference? What does a lamp stand for, Brother Kincaid? He's our theologian around here. Right, light? Light unto our feet and unto our pathway. Okay, very good. What else? Testimony. Right. Remember, the robe, white robe, lamp, all testimony. They had the expression, all of them, 10 of them. We have a lot of people with a lot of theological, evangelical, biblical, orthodox positions. We have really mastered the phrases. But that is not enough. Folks, God isn't interested for us to change our lips. He wants to change our life. Amen. He wants to give us exchange life.
Right.
Folks, here's the point. I can't take very much time because it's really running out. It's the difference was that the wise took oil in their vessel. The foolish didn't have it in their vessel. They only had it in a lamp. Can you see that? Folks, you see one of the points where the churches today are real weak. We have a lot of lip service without life service. We have a lot of exterior without interior. Many of us have a lot of orthodoxy without, but within it's quite empty. God is interested to fill us with them, full, overflowing. Jesus said, he that believeth in me, as it says in the scripture, out of his belly shall flow the rivers of living waters.
Amen.
My cup floweth over, David said. Folks, remember, the Christian life isn't something that we pump up. It's that many churches try to pump up people emotionally. The ambient, the environment. I'm glad this church isn't that way. We're not interested in pumping up something on the outside or pumping it up psychologically or emotionally. It's much deeper than that.
Amen.
Remember, at the very depth of our being, from the belly shall flow the rivers of living waters.
Amen.
Folks, little children in Brazil, boy, they see these motorcycles and you can just see their eyes just popping. It looks like their eyes are going to fall out of their cranial cavities. You know, they look at every motorcycle, boy, they're just dreaming for the day that you can see all of them, you know. We're just dreaming, a big dream. And when they get their first bicycles, they put all kinds of plastic and cardboard in their spokes to make... It's a good facsimile, perhaps, but it isn't quite a motorcycle yet. And what they're lacking, they make up with their mouth. No, they have this a Honda that I have, or everything else. Well, if they don't have the goods, they want to put it on the outside. That's the way the psychology of human beings is that what we're lacking within, we try to put on outside. When a church wants to put out on outside, like titles, like scholarship, education, money, clothes, jewelry, and all other junk, remember, is that when we're empty within, we want to put without.
That's right.
Folks, Jesus wants His beauty to flow out in our lives.
Amen.
It's He that's beautiful, altogether beautiful.
Amen.
The Lord says, with a quiet and a meek spirit, with a new spirit. That's the way the Lord wants us to be.
Amen.
And oh, how beautiful is this sanctity, this holiness,
Amen.
The presence of God. Oh, I appreciate that in anyone. Praise God, from His belly shall flow the rivers of living waters. Remember, folks, five of them didn't have the goods. They had the testimony. They had the words. They had the expression, but they didn't have the essence. Folks, the Lord is so interested in giving us the essence. Amen. Praise God. You know, He doesn't play favorites. Not once. He's not partial. He doesn't respect persons. He loves each one of us. Equally. He puts no prerequisites for education, for culture, for outward, race, grace, faith, or anything else. No prerequisite. He says, come unto me. Five of them came close, but didn't get right in. You see, the foolish didn't have oil in their lamps. The Lord wants to give us oil in the vessel. The Lord wants to give us oil, the Holy Spirit, His presence, His reality, His spiritual reality within.
Amen.
But folks, the Lord Jesus said in this parable, all 10 of them were slumbering and sleeping because the Lord was a little bit late. But He's not late.
Amen.
You know why? He's giving us a little more time. Will someone quote Matthew 24:14 for me. If you can't quote it, look at it and read it for me. You know, the Lord says one thing, the end shall come. When? When the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all nations as my witness. Amen. You know what a witness is? In the Greek, the witness, the testimony, is one who has lost his life in favor of another. A martyr. That's why it's called martyris. In the Greek, why? A martyr, one who's completely lost his life in favor of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we haven't lost our lives in favor of Jesus Christ. We're not His witness. That's one of the big need of the church today. The Lord wants witnesses. And He wants real martyrs. But you know, folks, the Lord isn't late. Remember, the Lord is giving us a little more time because He loves us so much. We're so needy. We have so many hurts in the world. Oh, so many injuries. So much division. So many necessities, spiritual necessities. And He's saying, I have provided all for you. Go out and proclaim it. Take it. Receive it.
And folks, he's giving us that opportunity. The second is, I must hurry, it's a selfish church.
25, let's see, verse 9, verse 8 and 9. And Phinehas said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out, or going out. Look in the margin. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest it be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.
Folks, the Lord allowed the foolish and the wise to be together.
Why?
The wise is supposed to have gotten the others ready, right? For those who really have Jesus, he wants us to make sure all of those in our family, our neighbors, our loved ones, to the uttermost part of the earth,
folks, that they'll get in. Isn't that right?
But you know, folks, they slept on their job. They were insensitive. They were disobedient. They didn't heed God's call. But the Lord Jesus, he said, I want you to go to all the world.
This gospel be preached to all nations. Everyone, nations, Gentiles, those who are without Jesus Christ, as my witnesses. And whenever you do that, then the end shall come.
The only reason that he's delaying his return is he wants this gospel to be reaching out. Isn't that wonderful, folks? Oh, I want to thank all of you for praying, for going, for really taking part. And folks, much has been done, but much more needs to be done.
We must go forward, my brethren. Let us pray. Let us intercede. But let us not be selfish. The wise says, lest we have not enough for ourselves. You go back and get it.
Oh, isn't that a selfish church?
Folks, if there's one person in the world without Jesus Christ, every last one of us should be behind him to bring them to Jesus. Is that the way it should be? Amen.
Amen.
And folks, we must not be selfish, living for oneself, for one's aggrandizement, for one's really living for his own objectives, for his own elevation. Must not. We must not be a selfish church.
Amen.
But there's a third point, the shut out one.
As we look here to verse 10, and they went to buy, and bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not.
Folks, in closing, my time is up. In closing, while they went trying to prepare, the bridegroom came, and the bridegroom shut the door. You see that?
And when they came back and said, oh, Lord, Lord, open to us.
It's the bridegroom that said, I know you not. Folks, a sad hour. Work, for the night is coming.
Amen.
The Lord says that I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work.
Folks, how important it is.
How important it is for us.
May we be ready.
May we be pointing men and women to the Lamb of God.
Amen.
May we be that martyr, losing our life for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
Amen.
Folks, three things. A slumbering church. In the last days, a slumbering church. A selfish church. And a shut-out church.
And the Lord doesn't want us to be any of those.
Amen. Amen.
He says, wake! For the hour of salvation is nearer now than the hour that we believed. Wake, awaken to righteousness.
Folks, the Lord wants us to be self-giving, self-sacrificing, loving others, loving the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And he doesn't want to shut out anyone. Isn't that wonderful? Just look to the cross.
Amen.
He died for every sinner.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's really go on with our work, shall we? Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, how we praise you for your presence here this morning.
Amen.
How we thank you that you're coming soon. And you have given us a mission. And we are commissioned to do it. But we have been unprofitable servants. But Lord Jesus, we commit to thee afresh. Make us, we pray, usable tools in your hands.
Amen.
Make us real intercessors. Fill us, we pray, with yourself, with your sanctity, your holiness, your person, your presence, your power, your glory. And cause us, Lord Jesus, to take this gospel unto the uttermost part
of the earth. Surely we would give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.